everyone, and welcome to Inside Out Talk with Sydney and Amanda. Sydney, how are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm excited to talk about age-level characteristics. Amanda, how about you start us out?
Alrighty. Well, when I was observing a second-grade classroom, I noticed all of the children were excited to learn and couldn't get enough of their teacher. They wanted to help the teacher as much as they could. I saw the teacher encouraging them, and she let them help with tasks around the classroom, like passing out papers and things like that. They like to move around a lot, and the teacher allowed them to do so, which I thought was good, since a lot of teachers make their kids sit in their chairs all class. She actually planned specific activities so the children could move around the class. They had a stuffed pet dog in the class that one child a week could take home and take care of it. The kids really liked telling stories to each other and to the teacher. They even came up to me. They repeated themselves a lot, but they were always so excited to tell.
Well, I observed a seventh grade class, and it was a totally different experience than yours. Remembering this time in my life, it was the most awkward stage, as I'm sure it was for everybody. I could see that the students wanted to learn, but they got bored so quickly when the teacher repeated the same information over and over again. Some got caught daydreaming, and one was even caught sleeping. The teacher recognized this and saw his kids were getting bored, so he made his lesson discussion-based and gave them a chance to talk and get involved. This is an age when everyone wants to feel accepted and are influenced so easily. Even in the classroom, I observed, I saw the cliques in which kids were popular. This is when boys and girls start to become attracted to one another, and that was very evident as well.
See, that's so funny to me, because in my classroom, they definitely did not think of each other in that way. They were all just friends. They would be grossed out if they think of liking each other.
There wasn't much friendship between the girls and guys unless they were dating. The girls stuck to their cliques and the guys stuck to theirs.
This is the difference in age-level characteristics. At each age, children act differently and experience different things.
Age-level characteristics are broken into five levels: preschool and kindergarten, primary grades, elementary grades, middle school, and high school.
Within these levels, the students experience physical changes, cognitive changes, social changes, and emotional changes. There are different characteristics for each year.
A year doesn't seem like a long enough time to experience all of these changes, but in Center for Parenting Education's article, Child Development by Age, it discusses how much a child can change within just even a half of a year. A three-year-old can have totally different characteristics than a three-and-a-half-year-old.
See, I have a three-and-a-half-year-old nephew, and I can see that. When he reached three-and-a-half, he became a lot more aggressive and began to hit people and have outbursts when he was mad or annoyed.
Yeah, in the article, it says that three-and-a-half is a peak time for uses of tensional outlets, and that hitting can be used as an outlet, so I can see how your nephew would act out like that.
Yeah, so this just goes to show how many changes a child goes through within a short amount of time. Also, there has been a lot of research on it.
There are a bunch of theories that address age-level characteristics and the growth and changes children experience as they grow.
There's Piaget's stages of cognitive development, Erikson's stages of psychosocial development, and Kohlberg's six stages of moral reasoning.
Exactly. They each give an outline of the development of a child in a particular area. Let's go over Piaget's stages of cognitive development first. The first stage is sensory motor, which is from birth to 2 years of age. This is when the child develops schemes through sense and motor activities. They also learn object permanence, which is when they realize that just because they don't see an object anymore doesn't mean it no longer exists. They begin to imitate people and animals. The second stage is pre-operational, ages 2 to 7 years, and this is when the child gradually acquires ability to conserve and decenter, but not capable of operations and unable to mentally reverse actions. The next stage is concrete operational, which applies to ages 7 to 11 years old. During this stage, the children are capable of operations but solve problems by generalizing from concrete experiences. They aren't able to manipulate conditions mentally unless they've experienced them for themselves. The last stage is formal operational and applies to 11-year-old and older. By now, the children are able to deal with abstractions, form hypotheses, solve problems systematically, and engage in mental manipulations.
Piaget believed that cognitive development made social development possible. Erikson's stages of psychosocial development theory portrays people as playing an active role in their own psychological development by their own attempts to understand, organize, and integrate their everyday experiences. His theory is more detailed and lays out a plan of instructional implications for every level of education from preschool to adult. Here is his 8 stages. Number 1, trust versus mistrust. The child is birthed to 1 year old, and this stage depends on the parents. Depending on the type of care they receive, the babies will either trust their parents and the world they live in or not. Number two, autonomy versus shame and doubt. The child is 2 to 3 years old and shows some independence. They develop a sense of autonomy, but if the parents or teachers are impatient with them and do too many things for them, they will develop feeling of self-doubt. Initiative or skill. This is when the child is 4 to 5 years old, so preschool or kindergarten, and begin to participate in physical activities. If they are given the freedom to explore and ask questions, they will develop initiative, but if they are restricted or feel like their questions are bugging people, they'll develop guilt. Stage 4, industry versus inferiority. This stage covers a wide range of ages, from 6 to 11 years old. These students are in elementary school or middle school, and if these students are encouraged to do things well, it results in industry. If the student is unsuccessful or treated badly, they feel inferior. Number 5, identity versus role confusion. Now the students are 12 to 18 years old and in middle school or high school. These are the crucial years for kids. They experience role confusion because they have no clear idea of what behavior is appropriate. If they succeed in fitting in and get perceptive of themselves, their identity develops. If they are unable to establish this, then the role confusion is the result. Number 6, intimacy versus isolation. This stage occurs in young adulthood, and the task is to achieve some degree of intimacy as opposed to remaining in isolation. Number 7, generativity versus stagnation. This occurs during the Middle Ages, late 20s to 50s. These people either try to do too much or they feel like they're doing nothing with their life. Usually, people tend to overextend themselves to avoid feeling stagnant in life. The last one is integrity versus despair. This stage occurs in late adulthood in the 50s and beyond. They accept the life cycle. They are the kind of people who are seen as wise, or sometimes they feel that the time is too short to attempt to continue living life and start on a new adventure.
These are both good examples of age-level characteristics, and they're both planned out pretty detailed, but I like Erickson's way more because it's more descriptive than Piaget's.
I also like how he goes further in the years of life because people continue to learn past age of 11, and that's where Piaget's stages end.
Exactly. Now, even though these theories cover key aspects of growth and development, they only represent a small part of behavior of a child or adolescent. Let's go over the preschool and the kindergarten level.
Well, an article from The Truth of Kids, each stage is broken up into physical, mental, emotional, social, and spiritual. In the physical aspect, they want to do things for themselves. Mentally, they are curious and questioning, always asking how or why. And socially, they seek adult approval. In the spiritual aspect, they are learning to pray simple prayers.
As a teacher, what are some tips for dealing with these kinds of behaviors?
Well, when teaching kids this young, it is important to change the activity often to keep them engaged. And while answering the questions, you have to give short and clear answers. Encouraging group play is a key aspect because it helps them to learn to grow and interact with others.
Yeah, in F.P. Hughes's article, General Characteristics of the School-Age Child, he says that it is from their peers, not from parents or teachers, that children learn about the culture of childhood. This emphasizes the importance of letting children interact in groups and learn from one another.
Exactly. It also plays into what Piaget believed about how students do not think the same way as adults do, so they learn best from their peers.
Moving on to the level of primary grades, this includes ages 6, 7, and 8. This is the age where the students always want to help the teacher because they're growing in their skills and abilities, and they can actually finally help. They learn best by repetition and socially have a growing need for approval. They're trusting of almost everybody and have empathy for poor or sick people.
So, while teaching this age level, will they only learn or remember things if I continually repeat it?
Not necessarily, but they will remember things better if you let them repeat stories or recite things that they learn. It also helps when you make them feel useful and also incorporate songs, games, and crafts into your lesson plan.
Well, in a Kidman tip article that I read, Age Level Characteristics of Elementary Children, it also says that it will help if you provide the students with opportunities to move around a lot.
That's very true. At this age, students will have a really hard time focusing if they are always sitting down.
The primary level is different than the elementary school level, even though it's just a couple years apart. During the elementary level, the students are more independent and are able to remember things well. They concentrate better and have developed reasoning skills. They're responsible enough to do projects and are critical of themselves.
While teaching this level, if you involve them in something like skits or mini dramas, they will love it and take it seriously. Since they are so critical of themselves, it's important to set a high standard, but also continue to encourage them often. At this age, instead of telling them what to do, they will respond better if teachers ask them to do something. They look up to the teacher and will want to please them.
This is a fragile time in a kid's life because this is where they experience Piaget's industry versus inferiority. If they aren't praised enough and feel like they're not doing things right, they will instantly become inferior. They have to know that as an adult, you trust them and need to encourage them so they know you believe in them.
Speaking of a fragile time in a kid's life, let's talk about middle school.
Oh, the days of puberty.
This is when everybody got a growth spurt but me.
That is actually the key change in middle school kids and affects them not only physically, but mentally and socially.
These students are between the ages of 11 and 13 years old and just want to fit in. The most common thing that happens to students at this age is physical changes in the body. Boys grow, girls mature. It seems like all of a sudden everybody's changing.
Exactly. And if they aren't changing, it takes a toll on them emotionally. Boys who stay small feel inferior, and girls who aren't maturing like the other girls feel inferior.
They're also feeling more emotions than they ever have due to their increase in hormones.
Yes, I remember this at this age where girls and boys started to like each other. And sometimes, due to their excessive emotions, they might act out in behavior or do things they might normally do.
This is when students begin talking about alcohol, sex, and sometimes even drugs.
Whew! Which seems way too young to be even thinking about those things, but psychologists apply the term adolescence to this age level.
When teaching this level, it's important to show interest in what interests them. These students are often moody and super emotional, so they just want to feel like someone connects to them.
Once again, it is important to encourage them. This is a reoccurring theme, but it is so important to the students' learning. They feel a need to be accepted, and knowing the teacher supports them is a big deal.
Yeah, and also let them express their feelings and opinions. This can be done in the classroom by facilitating group discussion to determine how they feel and what they think about the subject matter.
You also find yourself talking a lot about appropriate and inappropriate behaviors. Sometimes they get confused on what is appropriate, and they need to be reminded on how to act.
When it comes to spirituality, this age level begins to ask deeper questions because they're just trying to understand it all.
As they begin to understand, try to provide the best answers you can, but let them think for themselves. Encourage them to understand it in their own terms, not somebody else's.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, Sydney, what about high schoolers? They must be a lot different than the middle schoolers.
They are, for sure. Middle school is more of an awkward stage. When they get into high school, they reach physical maturity and attain puberty. Even though they are still young, this is also the most common time when they become sexually active.
Socially, a majority of students get after-school jobs. They also are hanging more with their friends and getting peer pressured into doing things they know their parents would not approve of. This is where most fights happen between the parent and adult, the parent and the child. I know when I was in high school, I had many fights with my parents about what was happening in my social school, or my social life at school. How about you, Sydney?
Yeah, my parents and I had our fights as well, but who doesn't? This is the age where students want to become independent, and they tend to rebel against their parents.
Very true. This is also where a lot of drama is happening. This causes the adolescent to become more susceptible to psychiatric disorders, including eating disorders, substance abuse, schizophrenia, depression, and even suicide. Have you ever experienced any of those?
No, not myself, but I have known people who did experience that. And it's hard to see someone go through that in their life, especially so young.
Yeah, I see it happen as well. Friends of mine even. This is when the teacher has to really know how to handle their classroom and students.
It's not easy, that's for sure. The students have a love-hate relationship with school at this time, which makes it hard to teach them. Technology in the classroom is becoming an even bigger effect on the students' learning due to them texting friends on social media like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and all that.
Yes, social media is at its peak. What do you think could help with the cell phone problem in the class?
Well, this is hard because you can't take everybody's phone away from them at one time. But you can limit their cell phone use in class and give them opportunities to use it elsewhere. You can give them an opportunity maybe between classes in the hallways, lunchtime, study halls. Anytime that they're not actually in class, you could maybe give them an opportunity to use it when they're outside of class.
I agree with you. I think this is a great way. I know my high school adopted that limitation on the cell phone right after I left, and I hear it's working out. So what else can you do?
I think something else a teacher could do is make their classroom discussion-based, because everyone knows that high schoolers have their own opinions about a lot of things. They are more than willing to see another's point of view than the younger students. They are also less influenced by a peer grouping, so making the lesson discussion-based is useful.
Very true. It is important to keep students engaged, because this is also the time where students tend to drop out of school.
Yeah, a lot of students lose interest in school or feel like they can't succeed when they're in high school.
In Fact Tank's article by Richard Frey, it is reported that just 7% of the nation's 18-year-olds had dropped out of high school. That's a record low.
Which is great news. A lot of schools are trying to implement a dropout prevention plan and encourage students to stay in school longer.
Some students have such crazy lives outside of school, it's difficult for them to even get out of bed, let alone come and work all day at school.
Exactly, and some schools aren't encouraging them or as focused on the dropout students that are at risk as much as they should. In Kimberly Nesting, Students at Risk for Dropout, Supporting Their Persistence article, she observed a Washington high school that was trying to prevent dropouts and said it appeared that some school officials believed that students with too many problems or had too much baggage got in the way of higher standards. She stated that this belief let down those students who believed that an education was important for everyone.
It's true, though. As teachers, we have to believe that every student is important, as their learning is. We can't overlook kids that are falling behind.
This is just age-level characteristics that high school teachers have to deal with. Like we said before, it changes for each level.
Exactly, and this is why knowing age-level characteristics is so important for a teacher. It gives you an idea of what to expect, and you can plan for how to deal with it.
Age level makes up a student's characteristics, whether it be physically, cognitively, emotionally, or socially. These characteristics can drastically affect a student's life. If you want to get the most out of your student and help them grow in school, knowing their age-level characteristics will help tremendously.
You know another thing most students eventually have to deal with is choosing which college to go to. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. College is a very important next step a student has to make. How do you decide which college you wanted to go to, Amanda?
I chose mine from the degree I wanted because I wanted to become a teacher. I wanted to have a major in sports management. I also chose my first college for the basketball aspect of things. What about you?
Yeah, basketball definitely played a huge factor in my decision, but it's mainly about the academics. This can stress high school students out because people don't know what they want to do with their lives. It's a big decision to make when you're 17 or 18 years old.
True, it's a lot to deal with. So it seems like we took similar pathways to get where we are now. How would you help your students when they come to this stage in their life?
Usually everyone freaks out when it comes to choosing what college to go to, or if they're even going to go to college. I think that the way that they are brought up and how they were taught in a classroom has a lot to do when it comes to picking which college to attend. When being a teacher, you have to remember that you either make or break how a child looks at education. If you do not make learning enjoyable, the student will have no desire to want to further their education to the next level.
I fully agree with you. As teachers, we are the ones who inspire the students to want to learn and grow in knowledge. Our success in the classroom leads to their success in the world.
I hope I can teach my students well enough to where they are excited to move on to the next step in their education.
Well, that's all we have for today. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope our podcast helped you understand age-level characteristics a little bit better.